Hello, Peter.
Hello. I hope you can hear.
Yeah, we can hear.
Clarkson.
Hello, Director.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I've been very blessed, meeting all sorts of wonderful people.
Yes. Being in class has been a tremendous help to me.
Oh, how good.
And he's a marvelous person. And you know, through him I met all sorts of interesting people.
Have you?
You know, I'm good myself now, if I may say so. When you get I said, I'm quite good myself.
Well, I'm here. Do you play something?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm always sort of, I suppose, deep down wanted to be.
Yes.
Now I can.
Piano?
Yes.
Of course.
You know, I used to sort of strum a bit.
Yes.
Now I can really play.
Oh,
I never sort of got down to it when I was on the side. I never really sort of developed it anyway. I always appreciated music.
Yes.
But I never really went in for it in a serious sense. But now I can.
Now there's no barrier.
No barrier at all. When you two come here, you'll really go even deeper into it.
I'm sure we shall.
By the way, you were looking at a book the other day, and I think you were a bit puzzled about something in it because you said this isn't right, this is incorrect. There's not some wrong information in this book, I think.
Yes.
You know the one I referred to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you should do. It was in reference to music. And there was some mistake.
I think that was your girl, yes.
I've met so many singers and musicians.
Oh, yes. For instance?
Oh, my goodness me. If I were to start reading them off, make your head spin.
Yes.
I've met Mozart.
Have you?
Yes. That's, to me, the apex I was.
Oh, yes.
Because he was an absolute genius. And I've been to concerts here.
Yes.
Most magnificent, wonderful concerts.
Oh,
where great composers who compose new works.
Yes.
In vast auditorium. In the open air. Vast auditoriums.
Oh.
Thousands of people.
Yes.
And the extraordinary thing is that a composer will conduct their work. And at the same time, in the most miraculous, to me even now, sort of way, it's as if, you know, the music isn't only audible, it isn't only that you hear, but it's visual. This I don't even know how to begin to hope to explain to you.
Really? Visual as well as heard?
Yes, you see, music here is not just pure sound as such. You know, for instance, when you listen to music, you conjure up in your own way, sort of your own picturization, as it were, or the mood, or whatever is implied. Which is, well, in a sense, that's so here, but more so, I mean, it's on a vaster scale. It's as if the musicians, under the composers, battle, you know. I mean, composers able to, in some miraculous way, I didn't even know how to explain it, is able to depict what he was trying to convey in a picturization form, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And also the colour here is so tremendous. I mean, the colour which we have with music, apart from visual picturization of things, is fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, for instance, the world here is, in this fundamental sense, I suppose, a similarity to Earth. I mean, we have beautiful countryside and all that sort of thing, but it's as if everything here is on a wider scale and vast vistas. For instance, fires of all hue, all variety, many that you've never seen on Earth. But here it's possible, for instance. I know this sounds crazy, but I have to tell you. Flowers not only have their wonderful perfume, but here it's possible to go into what I suppose one might almost call wood flowers. That is, the flowers are tall, and taller than, for instance, oneself.
Yes.
And this wonderful perfume, and also the light that comes, which I can't even begin to describe, casts this sort of beautiful glow of all magnificent color everywhere. I mean, this must sound quite bad, but everything here is on a vaster scale, more beautiful, and everything that you have that's worth having, that is, everything about culture and beauty and grace and dignity continues here, but on a vaster, wider scale. And of course, the minds of individuals and people have changed to a vast degree, and it's as if anyone makes a contribution. I don't even know how to explain this. But the more advanced you become, the more you contribute to your conditions and surroundings, the more, in a sense, you mentally create and help to sustain the life and the condition of life. In other words, I suppose, as you are mentally, so you find yourself in an environment best suited. And that's why, of course, there are so many degrees of life here, many, many planes and many, many spheres. I mean, for instance, you hear about planes of existence. Well, one plane may contain, in a sense, hundreds of different worlds. By that I mean different worlds according to the individual's understanding, according to the individual's progress or lack of it, really. And that's why, there again, you see, we come up to this problem, which I suppose in a sense is a problem to people, particularly on Earth, when they begin to think deeply about it, that is, of eternal life.
Yes.
You see, I mean, if one sort of tries to think it out, it sounds, well, you can't comprehend it. But when you realize that every world here, or every plane of existence, contains hundreds and hundreds of stratas of consciousness according to the individual's progress or lack of progress. So you vibrate and harmonize accordingly. And so you gradually, through experience, go through subtle changes, which are so subtle you hardly perhaps even are conscious of, and you sort of emigrate, if you like, from one world to another according to one's evolution. And then you begin to comprehend the immensity of life, and then eternal life seems realizable, you know what I mean?
Yes, logical then.
Yes, but you see, since I've been here, I've gone through so much, so many experiences. I've gone through many changes in a sense, but they've been, in a sense, rather slow perhaps and rather subtle, but one can see back. I suppose in a way it's like, in a different sort of way, but yet in a way it's comparable. When a person reaches perhaps the age of 70 on your side or 80, you look back and you see your life in bits and pieces, and you see different sort of changes that have come through different circumstances or people you've met and so on, and you see things differently. I mean, you see things as if, well, that's one aspect of my life and so on. So you do here, but in a much wider sense. You see, nothing is impossible. There is a joy and beauty in this life. I mean, here you realize that everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. And no matter, for instance, how low, if you like, a person may have sunk on earth, you know, I mean, no matter how degraded they may have been, no matter how low the sphere, if you like, or condition of life in which they find themselves, there is still hope.
Yes.
No one is ever lost, you know. And then again, you see, in a sense, you judge yourself. Yes. I mean, no one judges anyone here. That's another thing. We have law and organization, we have standards and all that sort of thing. But the extraordinary thing here is that, I say extraordinary, but it does strike one when you first come in. There are no sort of fixed rules or regulations. No one sort of really judges you. Of course, people will help you and guide you and advise you. But no one forces their will upon you. But within yourself, you realize yourself for the first time. It's as if you, for the very first time, you see yourself with a clarity of vision that you never thought possible. And you realize all your faults and weaknesses and your good qualities too. But you sort of balance yourself up. You know, it's an extraordinary thing when a person comes over here. After a very short time, they begin to analyze and, almost you might say, criticize themselves too. I mean, here you come to terms with yourself. Nobody says you must do this. No one says you must do that. No one judges you. No one condemns you. It's as if you know yourself. And you realize then too, in the sense that there's no camouflage, there's no facade, there's no sort of makeup. You can't hide your true self. It's as if you are, at first, of course, it's a bit embarrassing. At first, you feel, oh, dear, my God, you know. Then again, you realize how logical it is, how wonderful it is. And it gives you an incentive and a purpose and a meaning. And somehow you just go ahead and you accept yourself. And you, of course, you have, in the beginning, one has regrets. One feels one should have done this, and why didn't one do that, you know. And then, of course, there again, you see, you get people who come back. tobacco. I suppose some people call them earthbound. Who have something very much on their consciousness, you know. I mean, they sort of feel terrible within themselves that they should have done certain things, or if there's something undone, or perhaps they behave very badly to someone, and they want to try and rectify it if they can. You do get individuals, of course, who are not necessarily bad people, who are earthbound in as much as they're tied to a certain extent by certain facts, which, though they were of a material nature, they were very strong within themselves, and they want to rectify or make good or try to help some particular person.
Yeah.
And of course, there are many reasons apart from that. I mean, I can tell you so much. I mean, I've already been taken to certain spheres on lower vibrations, of course, but nevertheless, tremendously interesting, fascinating, because, I mean, one goes there with the object, obviously, if one can, to be of service and to be of help, but also how extraordinary it is one can learn, even from contacting what one might call, I suppose, in some senses, the lower depths. But the point is that I find all this so intriguing. I feel I want to do so much. I want to help. I want to be, you know, active, and I am. And I've been doing a certain amount of rescue work recently, helping people less advanced, people who are earthbound.
Yeah.
And you know, there are so many, many more people than perhaps even one would realize or think about, but who are earthbound, who are in need of help.
Yeah.
And for instance, in the Vietnam business, I've been doing a certain amount of rescue work there, helping some of the people over. And there's such a terrible, if only you could see your world as we see it, if you could see, it's as if, like a mist, as if the world is choked by it. It's as if there's a fog all around the earth. In some places it's more deep and dense than others, according to what is happening in that particular part of the world, you see. And of course, here and there, it's as if there's a clear spot. I don't know how to explain this. Sometimes it's due, and quite often is due, to individuals whose minds are sort of tuned in, at least they're tempted to tune in. They're trying to pierce the cloud, pierce the darkness from there, and open up a way, and we can reach them. And this isn't necessarily always mediums as such. Of course, when the person knows about communication, knows about spiritual life and spiritual endeavor, and wants to be of service, of course it's a great asset and a great help, and we are able to reach them invariably. And quite apart from spiritualism as such, or mediums as such, there are individuals who don't even realize, of course, that they are, in a sense, mediums, but who are good people, who are disturbed mentally and unhappy about the state of your world, who want to be of service, and indeed, in some instances, are trying to be of service, and we reach them and influence them. You see, all communication, really, in a sense, or between our world and yours, is a way, a sort of, well, mental process.
Yes.
You must be, you see.
Yes.
And there are various methods that are used. I mean, for instance, your circle, it's beautifully attuned, it's very harmonious, and we are making contact there, as you well know, and we're very happy about it. Of course, naturally, one would like to do more, one would like to open up more. But then again, these things do take time.
Yes.
We are making progress there, we are getting through, and we still feel within ourselves that eventually we shall get this direct contact. That's what we're really aiming for.
Good.
Yes. One has to be patient. You know, I'm just rambling on. I was terribly excited about everything, and the fact that I found, in a sense, it is a clear channel. I mean, I suppose there isn't such a thing as an absolutely clear channel, but as clear as one can hope to get it. You know, these things are variable. But to be able to come and speak to you means so much to me. And I don't want to take up all the time, but once I get through, once I get in the habit of coming, and there's so much I want to tell you about, because I feel that if not only would it give you happiness and joy and be wonderful for us to be able to communicate, but in some way we might be able to reach other people later on.
Yeah, really, that's the idea. Oh, it was a wonderful talk. I can't tell you what it means to me.
But you know, I wish you could see. I'd do anything if it were possible for you to see what it's really like here, how wonderful it is. No one need fear dying. No one need fear death at all. It's the gateway to life. It's like going to sleep in one world and waking up in another. Far more wonderful, far more beautiful, with greater opportunities, and meeting again all the people you've known and loved, and the joy of being young and vigorous and active, you know.
Give our dearest love to Mum and Dad.
Oh yes, Mum and Dad, send all their love and blessings, and I know they just want you two girls to be as happy as life will allow. I know there are times when it's difficult, but you know, really, you're very blessed, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do wish I could come and give you both a big hug and kiss.
Oh, I
do love you both. And I want you to know that, I want you both to know that, well, I'm hoping and praying, we all are, that the years that are left to you, that we should be able to do so much together. Yes.
Well, thank you.
It's such a joy to speak to you again. Mm-hmm. And I think of all the happy memories and the happy times. And I console myself, and I'm sure you must do, with the realization that there are much more wonderful things to come.
Yeah.
Happier times still.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Bless you both. Be hugging kids. Bless you both.
And
bye.
You.
It was very good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Has it been over long?